Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Rodney DeBolsey. I am joined by Dane Young, Jim Donnan, and Jake Roos. We actually give Jake Roos top billing this week because, let's just say, the Bulldogs have had quite the recruiting haul lately. Three different four-star guys in 5 days. It's been an absolute wild ride for the Bulldogs. So we're going to talk to Jake more about that in the show. Of course, right after we had last week's show, we got the news about George Pickens, and it's just crazy. For anybody asking where I am, I know this looks like almost a fake screen, but no, this is the game room here at Classic City Eats. Classic City Eats, where we've done this show for years, is about to come back online. They've moved to Watkinsville. They're just past the railroad tracks, just past downtown on Highway 15, Greensboro Highway. So for all you Watkinsvillians and the folks in Oconee County, everybody from Athens Clark who loves going to Classic City Eats, and you want to try out their new digs in Watkinsville, just head down Highway 15, right? I mean, it's right past downtown. Go downtown, hook a right, you'll be there. You really can't miss it. So join us, folks, here at Classic City Eats. It's a fantastic place. They have this huge game room behind us, skee ball, Terminator games, motorcycles, basketball, pop shot, the claw thing going down. They're going to have a golf simulator here. You can get your golf league ready. You know, you play the simulated games against other teams. That's going to be in the back room here. Huge area, immaculate, looks fantastic. I think you're really, really, really going to enjoy this. So when you get a chance, swing by Classic City Eats in the coming weeks when it opens up. I'm here for a kind of a preview to poke around and see if I can steal some liquor this line around. That's the whole purpose of being here. But spring practice is here. So we've been talking about it. We've had good news coming out of practice. We've had bad news coming out of practice. And Coach Donald, I got to go straight to you. The news last week, the day after our show, was that George Pickens was going to be out. I know we've kind of discussed in the at UGASports.com what that means for the Bulldogs, but we would really like to get your take on it. How does George get around this?
Well, you know, it's just part of ball. There's not much else you can say about it except you just got to – we used to say, Fido, forget it and drive on, but it's hard to drive on knowing you don't have George. But at the same time, it's not like he can't come back from this, and I think he'll certainly work extremely hard to get ready next year. If there's anybody that could play at all next year, it'd be George because, he's got the kind of body that can – rehab extremely well, and he's got a good attitude about it. And you know, I think as far as what George is going to do, I think the main thing is the supporting cast is going to have to step up and expand the roles in the running game for sure, and then hopefully Burton Rosemey, coming off his injury, can play out there some with his size. But you got to think that first off, Burton is the best guy to line up as a single side receiver with his speed, quickness, strength, ball catching ability, and then probably come in there with Rosemary Saints coming in there as the other guy. But I think George is looking forward to going and getting this over with. That's all you can say. I know they've consulted with a lot of people, and Dr. Andrews is probably going to be the guy they go with. I'm not sure for certain that hadn't been announced, but I think certainly a guy, we got everybody around here that can work on him too. So, but George is close to being a guy that, you know, he's not, nobody's indispensable, but you saw our ineffectiveness last year without him, but we have some guys that have really stepped up and played a lot better since then too. And our quarterback situation's been enhanced with JT. So I think Jackson really will focus more on him. And then using these tight ends, Fitzpatrick's the number one guy coming back as far as number of reps, but Darnell Washington really has improved. And as I mentioned on every show we've had the last 3 weeks, I think Brock Bowers, without question, is the offensive guy, skill guy, that is going to really be somebody they look to very quickly.
I love the idea of throwing to the tight ends. I know it's kind of it's almost become a meme, you know, kind of a joke, but I just do think that with Darnell Washington, that's a tough guy to cover, Dane. And we're hearing amazing things about Brock Bowers. Again, spring buzz is spring buzz. And we would hear great things about Matt Landers, and a lot of that stuff did not translate to the game. There's been a ton of spring football heroes that don't really perpetuate to the fall. But the stuff we're hearing about Amarius Mims, Brock Bowers, guys like that, Nylan Green. It's good to be hearing that, but and it's not to take – I don't want to take anything away from Fitzpatrick, but we've heard the other day that Darnell Washington's pushing 270, 280 pounds at 6'7". I'm just thinking, how do you cover that guy? I mean, he's not exactly slow, you know? So I just think, again, I hate the idea of losing George Pickens. It's it hits Georgia right where it counts. You need a guy who makes those amazing plays. But if you're going to get Darnell Pickens a few more passes, I'm excited to watch that sort of football.
Yeah, and I think people should be. Georgia has a lot of weapons on its offense and returns virtually everyone. If any team could withstand losing someone as talented as George Pickens, it's probably Georgia. And I think that was one of the reactions that you saw when the news broke last week. The other reaction is that the sky is falling and Georgia's going to Georgia and why can't we have nice things? And I think that both of those can be true, right? He was the best and most impactful player on offense. He is irreplaceable. But there's still other guys that can do different things to have an effective offense. I think both of those things can coexist. I have some numbers for you because I wanted to discuss George Pickens efficiently. 85 catches, 1,240 yards, and 14 touchdowns in his career. So that means one out of every six catches for George Pickens was a touchdown. So if you want to know what George has to replace specifically, it's who is a threat in the end zone. Because other players can catch it all around the field, but when you get to where it's compressed toward the end zone, who can make that catch in a small window? No one's got the catch radius that George Pickens does. You know, according to PFF, in 2019, George Pickens was targeted 77 times. He had zero drops. That was as a freshman in college in the SEC with, you know, not the greatest quarterback situation all around him at all times. 2020, he went from 28% in contested catches in 2019 to 64% in contested catches. All to say, as the defense has realized, oh, crap, he's good. He just got better. And so I suspect that's probably what's going to happen with his career as he moves on to the NFL. He's so talented. I don't think anyone would say he would probably consider coming back for a senior season or anything. You just hope he has a good recovery and a good career after this. Most players recover fine from an ACL, but you do feel for him personally because he's not going to get to play with his teammates and have that experience that a lot of players are able to get, especially after such a disruptive season last year.
Jay, give us your take on this.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I agree with Coach. I mean, indispensable is kind of the word that comes to mind. And Dane really brought it to light, I think, when you talk about those contested catches. The fact of the matter is George Pickens draws double coverage almost every play. He necessitates that. You don't really have a guy right now that you fear the same way in Georgia's offense. Now, I'm not saying a guy can't emerge, you know, a Jermaine Burton perhaps, or, you know, Kyaris Jackson may turn into that guy. But to draw double coverage each and every play is something that was pretty unique to George Pickens. And it's not something that Georgia's had a lot of over the last few years. Prior to him even. So, it's tough. I will say, as everyone has said, I think that during the Kirby Smart era, this is probably the best situation that they could have in order to take this kind of hit. I think that last year before, it's a much different story. You don't really have a guy. You've got some guys who are a little less experienced, but, similarly explosive. It's a tough deal all around, though. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think the kid's wide receiver one in the NFL draft. It's been a long time, certainly, since Georgia has had that. A.J. Green, I think, probably the last one. So it's a tough situation. It really is. It's hard to overcome it. But you have to assume that they've recruited well enough to compensate for this loss. And maybe one of these freshman receivers can get out there and create some noise. Maybe it's Adonai Mitchell. Maybe it's Jackson Meeks, who can get out there and support this cast. But you've got to find that guy who defenses fear. Once again, I don't know that you've got that right now.
In terms of production and talent, Roddy, George Pickens is one of the best receivers to ever play at Georgia. He's up there with the Terrence Edwards. He's up there with A.J. Green. He's just one of the best to play at Georgia. It just stinks that he didn't have the full array of time to be able to show that off. But in the time that he did play, man, just tremendous.
It's just another guy that's played at Georgia for 2 years. I've made this point countless times. There have been so many NFL guys who, through bad luck, injury, suspension, transfers, whatever, have played at Georgia for 2 years. Redshirt, you know, your No'Shawn Moreno situation. You know, have guys like Alec Ogletree, who was here for 3 years but missed like 11 games out of his career. You know, there's
some Cooter helmets.
Just ridiculous stuff that has happened. You know, guys getting banged up. You know, signing too many autographs. Stuff happens. I'm just saying, there's been situations where it's tough to see. It's tough to get a list of NFL stars that played at Georgia all 4 years, and some of them who were here for three still only played close to two. And
you're not going to see 4 years much anymore. It's three and done.
It would be nice to see three from a guy like George Pickens. You know, I mean, I don't think you're asking too much there, and so a lot of guys are going to leave early. We get that; it happens. But, you know, you would at least hope to get that third year, especially the best years. Like if a guy misses his freshman year, you know, like Kelee Ringo misses his freshman year. He probably plays 2 years and goes to the NFL as a first-round draft pick. But you hate that you missed that freshman year. Granted, they had some plenty good guys there too. You weren't missing too much with him being on the sideline because you had a couple of high draft picks ahead of him. But point being, it just feels like the stars sometimes just don't align for the Dogs. But Jake, I do want to go back to recruiting, because the way you get around that, the way you compensate for stuff like this, is to have good recruiting classes. Georgia's been on a tear recently. We're going to talk about some of those guys that have committed to Georgia. But I want to bring up the fact that Coach mentioned Brock Bowers again this week. I'm not saying he's fascinated with the guy, but again, we're hearing good things about Brock Bowers. I mentioned Darnell Washington. You know, Jackson Meeks is very exciting skill set there. I don't want folks to forget about Justin Robinson, a lot of guys out there. But why are we so focused on this new tight end?
I mean, I think that what you're talking about in Bowers are probably some of the same expectations you had for Isaac Nnaadah when he came in. I know that it maybe didn't come to fruition quite the same way that people had hoped it would, with him being the number one tight end and a five-star. Those are big rarities when it comes to recruiting just in general. But, you know, I think with Bowers, you've got a similar skill set, solid hands, a guy with a lot of speed, a guy who can, you know, kind of play that new hybrid role that they're asking out of so many tight ends, where yes, he can function on the line as a blocker, and yes, he can play as an inline tight end, but he can also split out wide and play from the receiver spot. I think that, you know, that's what the future of that position has looked like for some time. And, you know, between he and Darnell Washington, I think that you've got a situation with those two guys where you feel that you've got capable replacements there, guys who can take it to the next level and be those, you know, tight ends of the future, if you will, with the future being right now, I guess.
That's good. Coach, we touched on the tight ends. I don't think we've even mentioned guys like Arian Smith, you know, the fact that he was really coming on towards end of last year and how fast he is. You mentioned this is a guy who can run track for Georgia. We haven't talked about, like I said, nobody really knows what Justin Robinson can do yet. Adonai Mitchell, as Jake mentioned, is you know, there's a lot of potential there that we just don't know what it can bring to the team. But I have a more interesting question. When I think of maybe throwing to the backs more, I think of, we saw what Kenny McIntosh can do with the ball in his hands. We know that Kendall Milton can catch the ball. We know Zamir White can catch the ball. James Cook is the guy I pick every week as my mouth-watering player, because I think he's going to have a breakout season. You mentioned the other day about him, you know, lining up in the backfield and flexing out, taking the ball 80 yards against Bama. Who does Georgia throw to the most in this? You have a plethora of riches in the backfield. Do they throw more to the backs? And if so, who are you throwing it to?
Yeah, the main thing that I think all of us need to get to, not get too geared on, is how many players we got, and you got to spread it out, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all, you know, there's a tendency when you have some really good players to think, hey, we got to do this to keep this guy happy and do all that. But the main thing you have to do is win, and what gives you the best chance to win. Does that mean pounding the rock more? Does that mean using different formations to create your best players on the field? I think the part about
We've been having some connection issues with Coach and
over at the Donnan house. We got to get Charter out there. I don't know what they're dragging ass.
Hey, they went to Coach Muschamp's house. So
Coach Dunn will take a picture with him too.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. So we're going to drop you for a second there and try to reconnect. Wait, is he back there?
I'm going to send him a phone number he can call in on. How about that?
There we go.
All right. Before we get talking about some of the other recruits, and I thought Coach made a good point there about the trying to keep everybody happy. At this point, I'm with Coach. You don't need to
screw them.
And I'm one of the guys who's like, hey, you gotta keep everybody happy. To me, you got to win games. You're primed for you have a schedule that's set up to, you have a big test on the front end. But then it's a much easier schedule than you've faced in years past. You have finally a full team of Kirby Smart recruited players. You have a heck of a coaches who are going to be hired away, or people are going to try to hire away your coaches at the end of the season. They're coming after Schumann. They're coming after Munkin. They're coming after Dale McGee. You've got a good staff of coaches. You know, a very strong group there. They're going to come after Trey Scott. Talked to a couple guys who were just raving about Trey Scott. Same thing happens to Coach Saban every year. Folks come after his coaches. So you got a good schedule, good coaches, great team. Things are lining up your way. You can't be worried too much about massaging egos. But my question is, when you decide that you're going to throw that wheel route, are you throwing it to James Cook? Are you throwing it to Kenny Mack? You know, throwing it to Zamir White, Kendall Milton, Dejon Edwards. Georgia's got a plethora of options there, so I don't know which one you go to. It's a good problem to have, and congrats on Dale McGee for putting that group together. Speaking of good decisions, you know, and not being able to make a bad choice, I do want to mention our friends out at Athens Ford. They have the Broncos out there. They have the certified pre-owned vehicles. All the vehicles that you buy out there, any of the new ones, any of the pre-owned ones under 80,000 miles, for you are going to have a lifetime powertrain warranty. The point being, you can't make a bad decision there. It doesn't matter if you're going to Milton or going to Kenny Mack or you're going to James Cook. If you go out there and you buy a pre-owned vehicle, a new vehicle, a special order, one of the Broncos, get the Ford F-150, the best-selling truck in America, go try to get a 250. You're going to have to get on a list for those. Those are being sold as fast as they come in. Point being, the folks out at Athens Ford, they make it so that you really can't make a bad choice out there. And, of course, the place is immaculate. They have financing in-house. They have the instantly turn your car into cash. So it's going to be the easiest situation you probably ever have when it comes to buying a vehicle. It's just like Coach Dale McGee when it comes to picking, you know, who to throw the ball to out of the backfield. Not really a bad option out there. So a big shout out to friends at Athens Ford, and they're not cooking here yet at Athens at the Classic City Eats. That's coming soon. They'll be having the full menu. If you follow them on Facebook, you'll see a lot of the meals they have up. So even though I'm here today, I can't really grab lunch when I really want to. So what I'm going to do, today's Double Points Tuesday at EuroPie, so I'm going to swing out to my I'm going to put in an order at EuroPie and get a great pizza, and I'm going to get my wife a sandwich. That's what she told me she wanted. And I will do it on the app. When you go to the EuroPie app and you do it on the do it that way, you get double points. Now I've got free pizzas lined up and free salads and free gelato, all sorts of free breadsticks just because I use the app, and I usually do it on Tuesdays when you get double points. So it's a quick way to get a lot of free food from a great place. And Kyle out there, Drew French out there and his wife, they set up a fantastic idea when it comes to getting pizza. You basically order the pizza the way you want it. You get all the toppings on it, same price. Can't go wrong. They throw it in those brick ovens. The crust comes out fantastic. And I do want to give a big shout out to them for supporting us for years. It's going on half a decade now, longer, maybe a decade. Anyway, Drew and Natalie French have been taking care of us for a long time. We really appreciate it. And I'm telling you, you should take care of them by today when you get dinner or lunch. Swing by our friends at EuroPie.
I think we have Coach on the phone now, by the way. So if you have a question for Coach, you can throw it his way.
We did get a question from – hang on a second. I'll have to find it here. Jake, we do this each week. We start talking about the all the stuff that's going on with the team, but we leave recruiting for the end, and we need to hit on recruiting now.
Unmuted. You can mute. What's going on there? There we go. Yeah, we it's okay. I'm used to, you know, being the sideshow. It's fine.
We're going to give you some attention this week. So
yeah, you guys all get into your rants and your projections, and everybody forgets about the lifeblood of every college football program, which is recruiting, which also never stops. So yes,
I want to raise.
It's been a big week for Georgia, no question. Last 5 days have been huge. I think that you were kind of waiting on some movement, and it all kind of came flooded in at once. It seemed like maybe you were going to have to wait a little bit longer, but with visits maybe opening up in June. Right. Guys starting to push decisions, Mykel Williams, Kristen Miller, kind of rethinking things, but everybody kind of comes back into the fold in a big way. Malachi Stark sticks with his decision date. Jalon Walker sets one. He sticks with it. And then Georgia gets a surprise commitment. So let's go through all three of those guys, and we'll start in chronological order. Malachi Starks, the number 76 overall player in America, one of the top athletes in America, according to Rivals.com, plays just up the road from Athens in Jefferson, Georgia. And a kid that, the skill set, listen, it speaks for itself. Go watch the film. He does everything, right? He plays each and every position. He's one of those guys that, you know, it's a situation in high school where he's the best player on the team, so he plays quarterback. But he's not going to do that at the next level. I think most people projecting him for safety, at least to start his career. I think he's got potential on both sides of the ball. Wouldn't surprise me to see him maybe start out over there, end up at wide receiver at some point. He's just a guy to figure out. I think there's room to figure out how Malachi Starks fits in the future. I will say this about him, and it's been something that we've had kind of over the course of this weekend. He is a kid that, in addition to, you know, his tremendous athleticism and that high ranking and, you know, all those things, he's a kid that people really go out of their way to speak highly of. People talk about him in a way, listen, nobody badmouths players. I mean, that's, you know, if you've got a guy who's representing your program and taking them to a national level, being a recruit at Georgia, nobody's going to go out of their way to say, hey, this kid's kind of a shithead, you know. But with Starks, it's a totally different situation in that people really focus on his character and what he has to, what he brings to the field in that way. Go over to UGASports.com. Check out the coach's corner we did with his head coach, Gene Cathcart. And I thought that what he had to say about him was just tremendous. Talked about, you know, this is a kid that goes into the community. He's out at rec ball. You know, he's watching peewee football just because he knows those kids love him. He's cheering on the JV squad on Thursday nights and bringing his teammates out to rally them. Just because, you know, those guys all look up to him. They want to be Malachi Starks. And, you know, when you talk to the kid, so impressive, such a good head on his shoulders. I mean, just a lot to love about the pickup. I'm curious as to your guys' thoughts on Malachi Starks as well.
You talk about how people don't like to drag kids down. And sometimes we do get a note from somebody who's related to the program. They'll say, hey, that kid's really talented, but he's a cancer in the locker room, you know, he's an arrogant little whatever. And we get a few of those, but they're few and far between them. And most, I mean, you really have to be rotten for somebody in your community to actually come out and say that. When we usually see the bad people ripping on a kid is usually a fan base didn't get him, you know. Oh, he wasn't a take. Oh, he doesn't have grades. He's a rotten kid. The coaches did some research and they don't like him. Georgia fans do it too. Don't get me wrong. Georgia misses on a kid and all of a sudden, well we didn't want him. The coaches didn't want him. He wasn't a take. And sometimes that is correct. Sometimes that is a sour grapes and a bald-faced lie. Well, when you hear from other fan bases, and I saw this numerous times, we wanted that kid because he's good and he would be great for the locker room. He has a great football IQ. When the other fan bases are kind of giving your fan base that you cover props for landing a kid like that, you know, that says a lot. You know, in other words, they're conceding the point that he's a hell of a football player and hell of a person. And we've known Malachi for some time, and I think it's a big pickup for Georgia. I also want to mention that we kind of had the same thing with Jalen Walker. I went up and covered his commitments. We did the interview with him, and it's been a long time since I've been on camera with a kid, you know, because of this whole COVID thing. But I will say that's one of the best interviews I've had. Not for me, but just the fact he understood the spirit and point of my questions, as bad as my questions were, and actually gave me more answers than I deserved in the whole 5 minutes that we were talking. If you don't like Jalen Walker after listening to him in that interview, there's something wrong with you. This kid is an absolute gem. I think he's going to be big for Georgia's linebacker core. We don't know where he's going to play, but Jake, kind of break down Jalen Walker and what Georgia's getting in him.
Well, I wanted to throw it to Coach real quick. Coach, can you hear us?
Yeah.
All right. Your take on Malachi Starks. You're feeling, I know that you've had a chance to watch some film on him. Obviously, you know a lot of people associated with that program up in Jefferson as well, close to Athens. Just your feelings on that pickup for Georgia.
Huge pickup. Here's a guy that can help your team in so many ways, starting with his leadership, starting with the kind of high character that he has, the fact that he can play both ways, can be on special teams. Reminds me a lot of just all the things he did for his team in high school that Boss Bailey did. You know, Boss played quarterback for down there, but he also, we knew he was probably going to be a defensive player, but he had that kind of skill set where he could line up at quarterback and throw the ball and run and do everything. And this kid's not quite as big as Boss, but I'm just talking about the kind of person, everything about him. I feel like he'll jump in here one of my friends is a Clemson guy, and he told me the day after this that Clemson told the kid 2 days before that they couldn't take him. And I said, come on, man, what are you smoking? He said they went after two other guys and told him they couldn't take him. Like, yeah, I said, well, you're reading the wrong board then. But that's what Roddy was just saying. A lot of times people just get so up in the air about things. And, you know, as long as your team's getting him, he's a great player. If he's not, you know, we didn't want him. But you can't get too caught up in that in today's society, though. I mean, I think without question, Kirby's proven that he is not missing on many players. I mean, even the ones we think they're going to leave have turned out to be prominent players in the program. Look at Speed, look at Brainy. I mean, you got to understand that player development, as much as the recruitment of them, is a real big part of this program. And I see it daily, the way these guys teach, the way they compete, what they do. But I like Starks just because of the many places he can help your team. And the same thing's true with Walker being a coach's son, playing in a, you know, pretty good league up there. When I was in North Carolina, Salisbury didn't have all the different schools around there, the Rowan County schools and all that. And it was a little larger school, but they're playing not the bigger towns like they did back when I was there. But his dad being a coach, he can play outside, inside. He's a really good basketball player. He's got tape on the internet where you can watch him blocking shots and all. So I just think that's as close to what we used to call a Jesse James player. And what that mean is he is a steal. He stole that kid from somebody. I don't know if it was Clemson or North Carolina, but going into this year, I don't think anybody thought we'd get him. Would we?
No,
I definitely. I mean, Walker was a kid that you knew Georgia was high on. You know, I think that there was no question where he stood on their board. But you never got the sense, really, I think, over, you know, the end of last year, into the beginning of this year, that Georgia was going to be the team to beat. In fact, We did a thing about 3 weeks ago, kind of a making the case is what we call it at rivals.com. And we had to put our predictions in. And I said, look, you know, I said, I think the kid sticks a little bit closer to home. I think he probably ends up at Clemson or UNC. Georgia really kind of emerged down the stretch for Walker. And, you know, I think that that was a really key piece for them. I think there's no question that they wanted him. I think there's no question Clemson wanted him, UNC wanted him. But Georgia coveted this kid as a major piece of this this class in 2022.
Here's one of the things that we've all been affected by COVID, and it's changed everything. But the one saving grace that helped us in this situation with COVID is with the new rules that they implemented just because of Zoom and everything like that, and wanted to do virtual on-campus Zoom meetings and things like that. They eliminated who could talk to the recruits. Everybody's eligible to talk to them. So just to make sure that the kids got, you know, the fact they couldn't come to campus and all that, at least it wasn't against the rules for you know, say the on-campus guys that don't go out on the roads. They let some of these people start talking. And a critical situation here was Will Muschamp, because he already had an existing relationship with the family, knew the dad through coaching clinics, things like that, and just fortified the fact that he was now here. He believed in his future. He was going to be here to help Kirby and broaden his career. And that's a really big point there, that the first guy's name that he mentioned, I don't know if it was any kind of alphabetical order or anything, but Dan Lanning comes before Muschamp. But Dan did a tremendous job on that guy. So did Schumann. I mean, those two guys double team you and say, look, you can play outside or inside. That means something to them. You know, the fact that we're both going after you and we could use you depending on where our needs are and how you continue to grow. The other point I would make on him is he only played in the 10th grade, the 11th grade year at his school. All of North Carolina schools didn't play in the fall. So he didn't have any fall tape on him. And these ratings, you know, were based on sophomore ratings. I think he's going to move up to 5-star just on everything he does. You know, I mean, same thing with Malachi. But the point I would say that Dr. Moorhead, everybody needs to understand AD having Will Muschamp here is a plus now. I mean, you got a guy that's helping you in a lot of ways beside coaching.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Muschamp, and, you know, that was another name that was mentioned when we were talking to Malachi Starks. Gene Cathcart said, you know, South Carolina was one of the first offers for Malachi. He felt comfortable with that. And don't forget that Georgia lost, you know, his presumed positional coach in Charlton Warren, who he was pretty close with. You know, he said, you know, having Will Muschamp there, I think really kind of helped settle the waters a little bit after that departure of Charlton Warren. For those wondering about Jalen Walker, number 73 in the nation, 4-star player, 6'3", 220 pounds. And as Coach said, in the midst right now of his junior season, didn't have that. But go watch that sophomore tape. There's a lot to like. I think that he really shows a lot of patience. And that's what stands out to me about him. He is a kid who plays his assignment. He's not trying to do too much. He can disengage from that block when he needs to, though, and get in there. He's a solid tackler. Just kind of a do-it-all guy. Great body type, I think.
He can do that because he's fast.
Yeah, sure.
I don't mean that in a mean way, but a lot of guys, you know, they feel that they have to get there quickly because they can't make up the ground. Mm-hmm. But he's able to hold back, watch things develop, and then the closing speed on that film. You know me, I'm not a film guy, but even I, with my idiocy, can look at it and say, wow, this kid can play. And yeah, he is a coach's son. Coach John touched on it. His dad, Curtis, is a defensive coordinator. This is the guy who faced off against Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp back in when they were coaching in college. So he faced off against the two of them when they were down at Valdosta State. So, you know, those relationships, as you mentioned, a lot of people are like, well, why is Jalen Walker committing to Georgia? That's out of the blue. No, his dad has known Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart for decades, you know, and knew him when they were recruiting him at South Carolina. So, this is a kid, Jalen Walker, who I don't say you, the game is slowed down for him, but when your dad is your defensive, is the defensive coordinator, and he can break down film for you. And then you had, as Coach mentioned, Glenn Schumann and Dan Lanning showing him how he would fit in the different positions on that Georgia defense. That's when it clicked for him. And just one day, he's walking away from the table, and it's Georgia. And he waited a couple of days to tell his parents, but it was that culmination of, I could see myself there. I know these guys. And he mentioned numerous times he wants to play for a national championship.
Here's the other point about his dad, though, that I think all of us in recruiting, you want to sell the mom, sell the dad, all that. But it's a lot easier when the dad is sold and is convinced. And when you start talking to him, he's not saying, but. I mean, in that case, I think that was the overriding part, that his dad was sold on the fact that the guy was going to get supreme coaching here and was going to be able to meet the standards of what he would do. And actually, his dad is now the head coach at Catawba. So he's not a high school coach. He was a college coach back then. Yeah. And he actually coached against a lot of these guys and knew them. I mean, he knows the Bateman guy from North Carolina. That's the defensive coordinator. He was at Elon when they were playing Catawba. So a lot of just different things around there. But the one thing that I like when you get to listen to a guy, he looks you in the eye on the camera when he was doing the story with you, the interview with you, and he was busting at the seams with pride about what he was doing. You know, I mean, as compared to some of these guys are just going to, hey man, I'm going to, you know, I mean, it's trying to use that. They're really not listening to you. He wanted to give you the answer to what you were saying. And I think that's really a very, very mature look at, and the same thing with Malachi. I mean, it's their day, but it gets to be a point when you get a lot of these interviews, you kind of say, well, what else is going to happen? But
and I was one of the last ones to interview him, Coach. And he, like you said, he, even though I was fumbling with my questions, he knew what I wanted to hear. And he knew what I was asking and answered completely and fully. And I walked away from that going, wow, this kid did me a favor. It made me look good.
Two big candidates there.
I think he did a good job of busting you when he said he didn't really pull those things out of a cup. They were just in the cup. And you said, well, you know, a lot of people want to think if you just pull the number out of the cup and that's who you pick.
he did bust on me. It was good.
I'm my boy Jake some love here yesterday. I'm sitting around here doing my normal, getting ready to watch The Price is Right and getting ready to see what's going to happen here on all these different shows, watch a little tennis, and he hits me up at, hey, I hear this kid's going to, from up in Tennessee, he's going to commit here pretty quick. I said, well, I hadn't heard anything about it. You know, of course, why would I hear anything? But he said, what are you thinking? I said, hey, if you're hearing it, I guarantee it's got to be happening. And hey, he smoked the whole country on it, just like he does everybody. And I'm going to tell you, that was good. And we caught the whole internet.
After a raise, hush.
And Roddy had to go get some more barbecue yesterday after he heard that.
So yesterday, Georgia caps off this 5-day run with a 4-star commitment from Jordan Bryan James. Now, he's one of those unranked 4-stars, so a guy that's not nationally ranked, but a 4-star nonetheless. 5'10", 200 pounds. He's out of Oakland High School up there in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. People may remember that one recently from Jacoby Stevens. That was where he played his high school ball, a great player over at LSU now. But Bryan James, a guy that I really like the film on. I think that, you know, again, I know I've said that about all three of these guys, but I think that in a situation that Georgia has this year where you're going to take two backs, it's pretty clear after going white last year, taking only Lavoisier Carroll, who's now presumably playing some defensive back for the year, you've got to go too heavy in this class. Bryan James, to me, a perfect complement to whatever they want to do down the stretch. And I think that it's pretty clear what they want to do. It's Branson Robinson out of Mississippi. And I do still feel good about that. Don't think anything with the Bryan James commitment changes this. But a kid that, you know, we were talking about earlier, those guys, the versatility out of the backfield, I think that's what you see on his film. He's got solid hands. They rely on him a lot. I think he went for 1,700 yards last year. You know, just does a little bit of everything for you. I think he's a good one-cut guy. Not the fastest guy in the world necessarily, but makes guys miss. And that's the biggest key. I think that he plays some good competition up there at Oakland as well. And, you know, just overall a kid that really kind of – it seemed like Georgia was wire to wire with in terms of his interest. We did an interview with him back in October, and he said, you know, Georgia's really high on my list. I'm really comfortable with Georgia. What makes Georgia unique is the culture of Georgia. We talked to him about a month ago, and he said, yeah, no, there's no question. You know, Georgia's in the lead right now. They're out in front of Tennessee. They're out in front of Oklahoma. At various times, Alabama and Florida State were involved in his recruitment. But Del McGee really impressed the kid. He's done the virtual visit. You know, this isn't a kid who's been to Athens prior. You know, he hasn't had a chance to spend any time face-to-face with coaches in person. So they did a great job on the Zoom visit. He said, you know, they showed me everything they could have possibly showed me. I feel like I have a great feel for it. And, yeah, huge payoff for Georgia yesterday. I think a great number two back in this class for them to go along with what they hope is the golden goose in Branson Robinson.
That is a question
we got. One thing about Robinson – that's going to be critical, I think, is if we're going to snatch him out of Mississippi, he's going to have to come to our campus.
Yep.
Because he needs to be recruited like a recruit is recruited. You know what I mean? He needs to see the stadium. He needs to see the new facility. He needs to do all that stuff and get that feeling about him because he's the number one back in the country. So he needs that kind of one-on-one with Dell and with Kirby and with Monk. And I think that'll be huge for this guy because we're going to need a go-to guy. You know, I mean, I feel good about Milton, but, you know, we're going to lose two backs and Carroll's playing running, move to defense. So we got the need for Robinson, but I just think Zoom ain't going to get it with this guy. We got to get him on campus and let him see what's going on. And I think based on what talking to the coaches that June 1, they're going to open it up and we're going to have him in here along with a lot of other good kids.
Yeah. I think he's one of those guys that you're shooting for right out of the gate. They want to get him on campus with, you know, the Kojo Antwies and the Oscar Delps and Aaron Bryant, the future four-star defensive tackle, in my opinion, unranked currently, but I think that he's headed for four stars out of South Haven, Mississippi. I think that they're going to shoot for a big first weekend out of the gates with those guys. Branson Robinson, as far as I'm concerned, there may not be a bigger offensive target left. I know that you feel good about Delp and you need a couple of receivers in this class, but that kid, go turn the tape on, man. That's all I got to say on Branson Robinson. Go watch the tape. He absolutely puts it on him.
I'll tell you about another guy that wants to come visit Georgia. But first, if you need some help, let's say you need somebody to come visit you because your garage door is messed up or your garage door opener is not working, or you're here at Classic City Eats where they have a commercial garage door that opens up to let in a great outside atmosphere. If you need stuff like that, reach out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, AARON. Ryan Lucia and the folks over there will take care of you. We had some people reach out last week. They said, hey, got a garage door issue. Put them in touch with Aaron Overhead Doors. They took care of them. Point being, the folks at Aaron Overhead Doors are a strong, strong customer service company that just happens to do garage doors. So their whole point is to take care of the customer. And whether it be delivering groceries, digging ditches, planting trees, building houses, their actual particulars of their industry come second after the customer service part of their industry. So that's how they approach it. And like, what can we do to take care of our customers? Oh, yeah, here's the service we provide. So it's not here's the service we provide, and now let's try to take care of the customer. They didn't put the cart before the horse, is my point. So when you need help, if you're in Gwinnett, Cobb, DeKalb, Barrow, Habersham, Stevens, Dawson, Hall County, Clark, Oconee, White, Forsyth, our friends over at Aaron over at Ed Doors will take care of you. Now, if you're not into the North Georgia area, this gigantic service area, and you need some work done on your house, reach out to DR Construction Maintenance down in Liberty County, Bryan County, Long County. Ronnie Brown down there will take care of you. So if you're like, hey, it's spring, I need some work done, I need some, this got messed up over the winter, Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance will take care of you. So reach out to him. I know those guys are busy, but call them and they will get out to you. So those are some big ones, big people to reach out to at this time of year. I kind of tease it about folks who want to visit. Jake, yesterday, well, Sunday, I went up and did the cover the Jalen Walker interview. I stuck around the next day, drove up to Greensboro, and went to a little barbecue joint Coach told me about.
Amy's, yeah. How was it?
Unreal. It was unreal. Now I want to start covering ACC basketball tournaments up there.
Just to go do the bar. There's great bar. There's incredible food up there in general. But
yeah, the sandwich there was great. The pulled pork, the chopped pork, it was fantastic. The chicken was amazing. But that was the best coleslaw I've ever eaten in my life. I've never had that much horseradish in coleslaw. It's amazing. I wish I'd had I should have gone and gotten a cooler and brought, you know, just tons of it back.
Some for everyone else, maybe.
Adorable. Oh, you're so cute. No, not at all. That would have been just for me. I had to share some with Coach because he put me in touch with him, but that's had the big plate. Then I actually ordered a sandwich to go, and this is the best sandwich on the ride home I've ever had in my life. So big shout out to Stanley. But I was up there to talk to Travis Shaw, the 5-star defensive tackle. And we're going to have a big interview with him coming up here in a bit. But I asked him when you can visit again. Well, I first asked him, you know, you've got 30, 40 offers. What are you doing? So I've broken it down to 13. And I hate when people say I'm going here, or I'm going there. I hate all the projections. You don't know where I'm going. Nobody knows where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. Stop it. Okay. And I said, well, what's going to help you? He's like, Travis Shaw, 6'5", 340 pounds, says, I have to get on campus. I have to see these places. So, okay. If June 1st, it opens up and you can go, where do you want to go? First answer, Georgia. I got to see Georgia. And they also mentioned Clemson, Alabama, Florida State, Florida, some other places he wants to see Oregon. But his first one with strong amount of vehemence and sincerity was, got to see Georgia. He wants to go see Trey Scott. So to your point, that's another big name that wants to be on campus, wants to poke around, you know, be recruited, as Coach is saying, with Robinson. You got to get these big names on campus. We saw that. I think Georgia had a great shot at getting Mason Smith last year, but the fact that you couldn't get him on campus, it just killed it. So June, that first week in June, I think will be huge for Georgia recruiting. They're on a tear this week, you know, but June will help a lot.
I am preemptively losing sleep about that week already.
Ain't no help you.
Just because I know what's coming.
You're going to be sleeping in the bushes, right? Isn't that how that works?
We do have a couple of questions I wanted to hit on today now that we've got through all the recruiting. Just a couple here on the vent at ugasports.com and from the vault as well. I like this one for Coach. This one from Jordan Green. He says, Coach, if you got back into coaching tomorrow, what offense and defense would you run?
Ooh, good question.
You know, you just got to be multiple on defense, no question. You got to have a lot of different fronts and looks. But the main thing defensively, you just got to be able to get your players lined up and play the fastball on defense like you do on offense. I would run the spread and incorporate some option in it, just because keeping people from running man, it's hard for me not to do that. But that's a good question for him, and I would like to think I could get back in. But
no wishbone?
But I'm sad to run a little option, but I won't get back to the bone.
He also wants to know who you call for your coordinators, Coach.
I will say that the one thing that I wanted to say before I screwed this thing up, and I appreciate you guys putting up with me on this. I don't know. I've done the same thing for 3 years here, and I've never had this problem, but it must have been something that happened in my basement or something. I don't know. But On Friday, I went out. My daughter came in here and was able to help me stay with my wife a little bit. So I went over. I hadn't been able to watch a tennis team play, and I went and watched them play. And I happened to see Kirby and his family over there because they have the one son that likes to play, Weston. And so I had a chance to actually see Kirby live for the first time since March of last year. And they just sat up there and he said, why don't you come by tomorrow? This is Saturday. He said, you can come by for a little bit. He said, you've been had the shots and everything. And I said, yeah. And he said, but I don't want you saying anything on the podcast or anything. Oh. No, he was kidding. He didn't say it like it. I said, I promise you, I'm not going to say anything on a podcast because that's not fair. No, but I didn't stay very long and I wasn't out there, but I was out there long enough to, here's the thing. I haven't been to a football game or a practice or seen anybody do anything in like 13 months, 14 months.
Right.
And I'm just going to tell you, I was overwhelmed with the speed on that football team. Just wow. Overwhelmed. And it's probably because I haven't seen it. You know, if I'd been watching it, I wouldn't have been. So I'm not going to like be everybody think, Don and Nate are fast. But it's just pretty much true. If you can't run, you probably shouldn't go on that practice field. And I'm talking about managers and trainers too. get things lined up. But just the whirling dervish of activity out there. It looked very organized as usual, but looked like the offense is really farther along than you probably should be at this point to me, you know, for the fifth or sixth practice. So I just wanted to give you a little plum there. That's all I can say, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about anybody in particular because it wouldn't be fair, but and I don't usually go over there much in the spring, but it was nice of me to go up and hug James Cook and see Zamir White and see George, and just it was good for the old coach. You know, I mean, I miss that. That's part of the best part of Kirby being a coach. He makes me feel good that I can come over there, and I love to be around the players. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not going to get emotional, but I love to be around the players and see what they do and watch them grow up and just be part of it. But we got some good kids out there. And the one thing I told Kirby later, he asked me a couple things, and I told him, I said, there wasn't a lot of bitching and moaning out there. You know, like a lot of times guys in between reps and all are working us too hard. There's a lot of encouragement out there. There was a lot of leadership. Monty Rice is gone, and now Jacoby Dean's got to step up, and he can't practice with his shoulder, but he's out there. He's showing a lot of leadership, walking around, coaching those linebackers. It's just a very good atmosphere to see these kids again, and I don't know how good they're going to be. It's a long time, but it was great for me to see live ball for a little while, and that's it for me on that.
I'm not going to ask you about anybody specifically, Coach, but I assume it was.
I don't know any of the numbers.
Well, I was going to say, I assume it was. It was. Well,
I was looking for Kendall Milton. Hell, he's changed it too.
You wouldn't even need to know the number on this guy. I bet it was hard to miss Amarius Mims out there.
Who?
Amarius.
65.
I don't know. I don't know what his number is. I'm sure he was easy to spot is what I'm saying.
It probably looked pretty small on his frame, whatever the number is.
that end of the field where the offensive line and the defensive line were on, you got some full-grown men out there.
Land of giants.
And I think Coach touches on a good point, though, Jake. Look at the guys that committed this past 5 days.
Oh, yeah.
Fast.
Not a lot of bitching and moaning either.
No, you're right. There's never been,
but what I meant was, it was just, I can't say stuff like, it was just a good atmosphere to me of, you know, a lot of times practice is hard. I mean, you know, it looked to me like they were ready to go. They were getting ready to play somebody. I like that. I mean, we're not ready to play for sure, but it wasn't like, let's get this practice over with and all that. And it was.
I wonder if some of that's from, you know, a lot of players don't like spring camp. Call it what it is. It's a lot of work. You're not getting ready to play a game. It's not showing up in your NFL highlights. It feels like extra work. A lot of guys don't like to go through spring. But when you have actually having missed it last year, I think that.
Yeah, they won't show what they can do because – They don't want to just be assumed that this is going to be the guy. We want to have a chance to compete for the job. And that's the way Georgia football is all based. You know, everybody can compete and look at what they need to do. So what's the other question? I probably took you off the show there with that. I shouldn't have said
I'm so glad you got to see it, Coach. That's fantastic.
Well, let me connect some dots here real fast before. Your consistency builds your future, right? And so when Coach says N'Kobe Dean is potentially a team leader and he's out there even with the injury, but at the same time, we're talking, 20 minutes ago, the best offensive player on the board in recruiting from the state of Mississippi is trying to get to Athens for a visit. You better believe N'Kobe Dean with his experience as a athlete from Mississippi now at Georgia. You better believe that's going to be something that he shares with him. Same thing with you get Will Muschamp on staff and all of a sudden the relationships that he's developed for all his years in coaching comes in to help even further because maybe he's embedded more with some of those North Carolina high school coaches from where he's coached recently. Georgia's just got a really consistent track record here of taking advantage in some of these situations. And with Tennessee falling now, Georgia gets a running back that would have been in Tennessee's backyard. You never know what would have happened in that situation. So Georgia is becoming really consistent in a lot of different areas. And typically that's going to land you in a college football playoff.
Great point. And we've talked about the everybody trying to adjust and recruit the way you need to. We held our own with the Zoom. I mean, no question. We got a good class. But the real basis for us is our head coach outworks anybody. Our guys one-on-one like Dale McGee and Lanning and all these guys, Trey Scott. I mean, you can mention everyone, but a guy that's on fire to me is Todd Hartley. I mean, in successive years now, he's gotten Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, and now he's on right in there with Depp. I mean, 3 years in a row. Are you kidding me? Top players in the country at one position, and that means a lot. And same thing with Luke with the linemen. And Luke will help on the Ole Miss connections because he'll know a lot about this kid from Mississippi, just like Trey Scott started recruiting Shaw when he was at North Carolina. He knew him when he was coaching at North Carolina, the kid at Grimsley. So it's a lot of good stuff there.
And Travis Shaw did say, hey, Trey Scott is the guy. I love this man. You know, we talk about everything. And he also mentioned, oh, yeah, and I finally got followed back by Jordan Davis. So as Dane points out, you know, the guys from the same state reaching out, taking care of the other guys, doing their job, helping to recruit, you know, that kind of atmosphere. And, again, if you have guys that are ticked off, it doesn't work. Now, I remember when Todd Hartley was – hired, a lot of people point out, hey, great recruiter, you know, killed it at Marshall, did a great job in Miami. We talk about these guys as recruiters all the time, but in the last three interviews I've done, what has every kid mentioned? The development of players at UGA, the development of Jordan Davis, the development of N'Kobe Dean, the development of guys like Adam Anderson and Azeez Ojulari and guys like that, the development of the running backs. Everyone I'm talking to, these kids are talking about how, oh, yeah, he's a strong recruiter, but they're putting guys in the NFL. So I think you're right, Dane, that consistency is starting to show. We're going to have the draft here a little bit. George's going to have a bunch of guys drafted, and they'll be able to put out those graphics saying, hey, here's who we got in the NFL this year, you know, with a bunch more guys who are going to go. And it builds. It absolutely does build.
Indeed.
Jake, was there any other questions?
I think we're good. I think we touched on most everything else. A couple quick recruiting things I'll touch on real fast. Had a question here with the addition of Jalen Walker. This is from Dabfa 2269. He says, with the addition of Jalen Walker, I think Georgia needs at least one more elite outside linebacker in this class. In your opinion, do you guys think we will land at least one of Jeremiah Alexander or Shamar Stewart? If so, which guy do you think would be a better fit into our system? I think that you can probably land one of those guys. I lean toward it being Shamar Stewart, but he's a guy you're going to have to get on campus. He's ready to get back up and visit. We did a story with him a couple weeks back when we were doing Miami camp. Down there, Under Armour. I do think that Shamar would be a great fit for what they want to do. And so I think that, I like your chances there. It feels like things have slipped a little bit with Jeremiah Alexander, but that could just be because he's being quiet. And then we got a question. What's the read on LT Overton, the nation's number one player named by Rivals.com in the 2023 class out of Milton High School? I will tell you, anybody who tells you they got a read on LT Overton is lying, because that kid is super sharp. Knows how to play the game. You can tell his dad is a college athletic director and has been trained up in for media sessions. So don't know about Overton. I think Georgia in a good place there. Texas A&M going to be a major threat. He was born in College Station. Dad was there for 10 years as an associate AD. A lot of connections to Alabama as well, where his dad also worked. So, you know, he's got ties to a lot of these places. Oklahoma has a legacy factor at play there. I don't think this kid's anywhere close to anything right now. I think Georgia probably sitting well, could probably benefit from having a visit. He hasn't had a chance to get on campus. I think that that'll be coming soon. And I know that he's excited to get out and meet Coach Scott Cochran face to face. So
what does he play?
I mean, I think he's going to probably end up as either a defensive end or a defensive tackle at the next level. He's going to be playing with a hand in the ground. He's just a big old kid. It's potential that he could play outside linebacker, maybe that hybrid role. But I think personally that he's probably an interior defensive lineman. I mean, he's 6'3", probably playing at about 265, 270 right now. He's maybe a little thinned down for basketball, but no question, a stud, number one player in the nation, like I said, for the 2023 cycle, and easy to see why.
Hey, Jake, before we go, I do want to mention our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They are actually looking right now for front of house full and part-time openings, because they're growing and expanding and getting bigger because they advertise with UGA Sports. That's the only reason. It's not all the fantastic beer they brew. It's not the amazing food they cook. It's not their beer and biscuit brunches on the weekends. It is just because they are associated with UGASports.com. They owe all their success to us. And that's not true. Now that the weather's getting nice, go out to their beer garden. Sit outside with all the barrels that they have up, and all the palm trees and the great tables and the immaculate service that you get out there. The place is incredibly clean and sterilized, stuff like that, for anybody that has any worries about going out to eat. If you've not been going out to eat, you've been worried about it, and now that you're starting to get your inoculations and the numbers are going down and you feel like it's maybe a good time to finally get back out there, go back and do your brewing company. Work yourself back into it. You know, it's just they do such a great job out there. They have great food, live music throughout the week, new beers popping up every couple of days, it seems. So when you get a chance, swing by our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They just do such a great job when it comes to the food. You can't get those beers anywhere else. They are always doing charity events. They have a huge meeting room. So if you're trying to plan a Greek life event or a corporate event or a wedding party, you know, a reception, something like that, they have a huge room for that, specifically designed for you to be able to host a big group. And, of course, they also do catering. So check out our friends at Academia Brewing Company. And Matt, Casey, and the folks out there are just waiting on you. You want to watch some of these basketball games, hit them up. So reach out to Academia Brewing Company when you get a chance. Check them out on Facebook. That's where they have all their announcements for new beers and such. And, of course, like I said, they're hiring and back of house. So they're hiring a lot of people. So if you need a job, go hit them up.
And, Roddy, I want to give a shout out to what we do too. So if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe to this YouTube channel. We've had a ton of great content in the last week. I think we're approaching about 50,000 views on our content within the last week. That includes this show. That includes some of the recruiting things that you guys are talking about. The other thing is it's scrimmage time for Georgia in spring. And typically on the Dog Vent at UGASports.com, we have some scrimmage notes that we ascertain in the ways that we do. So members of the site will have a bit of an inside look as to what's going on with this team in spring and if it lines up with what we all say here every week.
I guess it would be a good idea to point out the fact that we actually do have a subscription site. That's the whole purpose of this.
I was just doing that. I wasn't calling attention to the fact that
it's a great idea. I mean, I never mentioned the fact that we're actually have that it is a subscription site at UGASports.com. I really should mention it. probably be a good idea to put that in the show open, I guess.
That's actually the whole reason we're here, in fact. We're because we work for said site.
We really wanted to do it, you know, is the whole idea was to have it for our readers, you know, and for chance.
Maybe one day I'll get a paycheck out of it. That'd be great.
Let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy. But we used to do this. Steve Patterson and I started doing just we'd sit around with Anthony Dasher, guys like that. And we would just talk football. Then we'd put it up as a podcast before everybody knew what the hell a podcast was. For us, it was just an audio recording. And some of the early hosting things were hilarious. I mean, they were not called podcasts. It was just the UGA Sports live show. And we would just talk football. And we'd have people ask us questions on the dog vent. And we'd touch on them before it ever happened. So when we finally got this back and Coach Donnan joined us, you know, it's like, okay, now all of a sudden we feel professional and smart or something. But again, it's just it's a great vehicle for folks to get to hear Coach Donnan, and it is brought to you by the folks at UGAsports.com. So thank you to all of our subscribers who have been with us through thick and thin for 23 years. So we really appreciate all you folks, and we love it when you ask us questions because we like to try to get you an answer. All right. And with that, well, Coach, I appreciate you being on the show. Jake, you too, and even Dane. I do appreciate you guys joining us, and I hope everybody will join us next Tuesday when we will have a lot more to talk about, maybe even more recruiting and definitely some scrimmage thoughts on the scrimmage that Georgia's going to have this Saturday. Until then, we will see you on Tuesday.